Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke, along with Chris Loffery, filling in for Lori Walsh today. Joseph Ward came from New York to the Dakota Territory to spread Congregationalism in the 1860s. Eventually, he had many irons in the fire. He became the first president of Yankton College, and he worked to gain statehood for the Dakotas. Ward is the subject of John Andrews' feature in the July-August issue of South Dakota Magazine, Joseph Ward, A Lasting Legacy. Andrews is managing editor of South Dakota Magazine and joins us now in the Vermilion studio. John, it's always great to have you stop in.
You bet. Good to be here again.
Well, take us to the beginning. What was Joseph Ward's background, and what was his purpose in coming to this part of the country other than to spread Congregationalism? Mm-hmm.
Well, he grew up in Perry Center, New York. He was born there in 1838. He traced his lineage. He could go back about 200 years or so to the Ward family settling somewhere in rural Massachusetts the early 1630s. He had some Revolutionary War heroes in his background. One of his ancestors was Artemus Ward, the commander-in-chief of forces in the state of Massachusetts during the Revolutionary War. But he grew up in this rural area of New York. He grew up in a very spiritual family. His family was really rooted in the Congregational Church. His father was really instrumental in beginning one of the churches in their community. He served as a deacon there from the moment they got the last shingle put on the roof until the day he died. It was about a 30-year time span. And so he grew up in this very spiritual household. Both of his parents actually died when he was young. His father died when Ward was about 5, and his mother died when she was about 9. And so a lot of the care was sort of transferred to his older sister, Sarah. Still, they maintained the spirituality. He underwent some sort of almost like a spiritual conversion, I guess. I don't talk about it too much in the article in the magazine, but there was a moment in his life where he sort of decided that spirituality and the ministry was the path that he wanted to take. He had tried teaching school for a little while. It didn't work out too well. He actually moved out to Illinois for a little while to try farming with his brother, and that didn't work out too well. And so then he finally decided that he was going to pursue the ministry. And so he went down that path, eventually going to the Andover Theological Seminary.
It's interesting to hear that he had some failures before quite a few successes when he came to the Dakota Territory.
Yeah. Kind of reminds you of President Ulysses Grant, doesn't it? I mean, he had a lot of sort of went on the same path before his heroics. But
where was Yankton at this time when Joseph Ward moved there, as far as population, as far as diversity and opportunity?
Mm-hmm. So Ward arrives in Yankton in November of 1868. So by that point, Yankton has really only been around for about 10 years. So the community is growing very slowly. There's maybe about 400 people here, and there in that time there had grown a couple of different congregational. The Episcopalians had started a church, the Baptists had started a church, but there was no congregational presence at the time, and somehow the word got all the way to Turkey that there was no congregational church in Yankton. It was because a woman who was very involved in the congregational church was serving as a missionary over there, and her brother happened to be Wilmot W. Brookings. Mm. We know him today as the namesake of Brookings, South Dakota, but he was living in Yankton at the time. He was a lawyer and a member of the territorial legislature. And so she wrote to him and said, you know, why don't you send a letter to the Home Missionary Society and see if there's something they can do. We need to get a church established in this new up-and-coming community. And so he did that, and the Missionary Society sent a reverend from Wisconsin out to kind of get the church up and running, which he did through the summer and into the fall. There was one more sort of placeholder the pastor that came out for a little while before the congregation finally submitted the call to Joseph Ward in the fall of 1868.
Was the Congregational Church widespread at that time? Or was this just a pocket in this Yankton area that was in need?
Well, it was, of course, it was rooted out in the East Coast in New York and in New England in that area. But one of the tenets of Congregationalism was to, of course, spread it to the West. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really a whole lot around here at that point. And so Ward was really the first congregational presence, I guess you would say, in Dakota Territory. And during his time here, he was able to help spread churches through other communities, even all the way out to the Black Hills, out to Spearfish. So
there are so many things that are attached to Joseph Ward, and of course Yankton College being one. He had taken on so many different things over this short period of time in the late 1800s, and we talked at the outset about having a lot of irons in the fire. He was instrumental in the formation of Yankton College and eventually became president, and I was thinking, what was this transformation from congregationalism to education? But you had mentioned earlier he already had a background in education prior to that.
And it's important to note that one of the when Ward was called to Yankton to serve as the first pastor of the First Congregational Church, one of the things that the Home Missionary Society also tasked him with doing is spreading Christian education to the Northwest. Of course, we were the Northwest at that time. And so it was sort of natural that when he came out here that education would be an important component of what he did. So on top of serving in the Congregational Church, just 2 years later in 1870, he founded the Yankton Academy, which ended up being sort of the forerunner to today's Yankton High School.
Okay.
And so he was doing that until about the late 1870s is when the push really began to try to put an institute of higher learning, Christian education type situation, somewhere in Dakota Territory. And so that really sort of overtook the last decade of his life. If you go through, all of Joseph Ward's papers are in the Yankton College archives, which exist over in Yankton. They're on a wing of the high school. And so if you go over there and you start thumbing through some of his papers, you'll find that there was there seemed to be kind of a competition in terms of who wanted to gain the rights to build this college. And you'll go through and there'll be correspondence from people all over the state who are offering monetary gifts or tracts of land. And so it was kind of up to Ward to go through these. I mean, it was an effort of the Congregational Church as a whole, but really Yankton College, it was Joseph Ward's thing. I mean, if we come right down to it. And so it was really up to him to sort of go through and figure out what would be the best place, the best option. Ultimately, he settled on a tract of land, about 20 acres on the top of a hill right there in Yankton, and a lot of money that coincidentally came from the Congregational Church. Much of it came from members of the Congregational Church. And so that's how Ward sort of made – I wouldn't say it was necessarily a transition because it was all sort of part of his overall mission in coming to Dakota, not only religion but also education. Yeah. But that's how he sort of made the move from full-time religion to full-time education.
As Yankton College continued to grow before its closing – we're talking about, you know, Ward, A Lasting Legacy, which is the title of your piece in South Dakota Magazine. What were some of the lasting legacies toward the latter years of Yankton College that really go back to Joseph Ward?
Well, the Ward family continues to be involved in Yankton College. Of course, it's been closed since 1984, but there is still, Yankton College still exists in not necessarily the same way that it used to, but there is still a board of directors, and Ward's great-grandson is still the president of that.
Oh.
But we should, Yankton College really took up a lot of Joseph Ward's time in the last decade of his life. Because, I mean, it was all on him, its successes and its failures. It was completely up to him. And ultimately, I think it played a pretty – well, ultimately, I think it played a fatal role in his life. I think all the work that he took in order to make sure that Yankton College survived really took a toll on his health because, I mean, he was going back east to raise funds. Every year, he would go back there. And when he wasn't actually on the road, he was writing letters and trying to seek out new benefactors. There were instances where it didn't look like the college was going to be able to make it another year. There was one year in particular where he had to mortgage his own house to come up with the money just to pay the teacher salaries for the next year. So, I mean, all that stress, that's not only that, but, when he was serving in the Civil War, he had come down with this really serious fever that he eventually recovered from. But there were, I think there were lingering effects of that throughout the rest of his life. So when it comes time to shouldering the burden of Yankton College, plus, the health issues that he had 15 years earlier, I think it all just sort of culminated in sort of a slow health decline through the 1880s while he was trying to keep this college up and running.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you about, too, because he was so involved. He passed away at the age of 51, and that, again, was I wanted to ask you about that, and it does sound like just some of the workload he was taking on maybe led to an unfortunate early death.
Yeah.
During this time, too, that he's with Yankton College, he's also working on statehood for the Dakota Territory. How is he able to handle that on top of everything?
Ward was kind of like the dynamo of Yankton in the 1870s and 1880s. I mean, he was just in all sorts of different things. But there was always this push throughout the 1870s to divide this big mass of Dakota Territory into two at the 46th parallel, which is today our border between North and South Dakota. It never really went anywhere. You know, they always went by it through the more traditional methods of having their territorial representatives in Congress submit a bill and having it, you know, to go through Congress and get approval at that level. And it sort of comes down to this this Thanksgiving Day dinner that happened in Yankton in 1879. And it was at Ward's brother-in-law's house, the Reverend Stuart Sheldon. And Joseph Ward was there, and William Henry Harrison Beadle, the education advocate for Dakota Territory, was there. And the territorial governor was there. And a lot of Yankton leaders were there. And they finally just decided that, you know, we can't keep going down this same road if we want statehood. We need to sort of take this on ourselves. And so that really was sort of the beginning of the citizen push for statehood. What came out of that was they decided to form all of these citizens' commissions. They would sort of go around the state and drum up support in all these communities and say, hey, you know, if you think the same way we do, you know, we could use your support. Maybe would you consider, you know, putting together a community in your area? And, you know, they spread that throughout the territory, the southern half of the territory, until finally they got to the point where they were calling constitutional conventions themselves and statehood conventions themselves. And it's important to note that at every statehood and constitutional convention that was held, the citizens of Yankton elected Ward to serve as a leader at every one of them. So that just sort of gives you an idea of his elevated, you know, status within the Yankton
community. Yeah, that's another area I wanted to touch on, too. It sounds like the guy didn't really have political aspirations or ambitions, but it also sounded like he was a person without enemies. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, you know, I sort of thought about that this morning because I pointed that out in the article that, you know, he never really had political desires, even though upon statehood, it seemed to be almost certain that if he would have, you know, that the citizens would have wanted him to serve as one of their first United States senators, and he would have said, no, I don't think I want that. And I was trying to figure out, you know, why he would have said that, because much of his work in Yankton was so rooted in missionary work and doing good for others. And it seems like maybe holding a political office would have been another avenue for him to do good for others. But I think that he was also so in tune with the political leaders in Yankton. He was friends with all the territorial governors. Legislators and the governor would sometimes go to Ward's house and sit and hash out politics and legislative issues. And, you know, in the 1870s, there was a lot of corruption also in politics at the national level. And so I kind of think that maybe he didn't want to get involved at that. At the same time, he had sort of built himself up as kind of this guy that people in Yankton knew that they could trust to do good things. You know, and so I think that even though he would have turned down anything political, he would have wanted to continue the missionary work and the education work and the religious work that he had set out in Yankton.
Interesting character in South Dakota history, Joseph Ward. John Andrews, Joseph Ward, Lasting Legacy, appears in the July-August issue of South Dakota Magazine. Just 20 seconds here. Could you tease what your piece is in the September-October issue?
Well, I've got a story on the Fort Meade Backcountry Byway. It's 5 miles of gravel, probably the most historic gravel road you'll find in the state.
Looking forward to reading it. John Andrews, again, managing editor at South Dakota Magazine.